Blog Talk Radio. podcast. This is the Renegade Roundtable. Thank you for joining us this evening. Right now, I should have Mike Sledge on the line with me.
Yes, Kyle. How are you doing, man?
I'm all right. Fairly angry.
Yeah.
I heard some pathetic ass from a network that is going under and terroristic threats being made by two mentally unstable veteran of Jewish wars. And they were talking about how to be men and how to, really bring to the next level of manliness and doing things honorably. And I heard terroristic threats and personal attacks by two unstable people with blood on their hands from Jewish wars. So, well, good job, guys. Nobody wanted to listen to anyway.
Yeah, I think the amazing thing is that, for their last show, they obviously can do a best of, so they just decided to talk about us the whole time.
Let's Cliff High, the compilation for 2 hours. Read the Cliff High report.
Yeah. But here's the bottom line, and it really is, I didn't even bother listening to it, because frankly, it's just not even worth it. Because the bottom line is that I'm sure some of them will have podcasts somewhere or whatever, but no one's going to want them on any real serious network talking about real issues, because they have nothing to talk about. They have no real material they cover. They never talk about anything except butt sex, Hollywood, web bots, zip. So, what we're going to do here at Renegade is talk about real issues, things that really affect people on a daily basis, how to get this country back on the right track, and a real movement, a real nationalist agenda, and stick to it. And, I did that special report on the ADL super tactics, and this is similar, that's all. It's just, what they all do, the old playbook, the old talking points, that's pretty much what you can rely on these type of people doing. And they will continue to do it. And we should expect this kind of attack against us. And it's Nabil. We're going to keep on going. And that just means we're being effective.
Yes. And I don't want to dwell on this. And I just, I get so angry when, of course, there are personal attacks made against us and threats being made as well. I take that very seriously, especially when it comes from cannons like that. Now, I also upset because the ADL, the Mossad, Hasbarats, and they might not be even anywhere close to what's going on with these mentally unstable people, but they're loving it. They don't even have to do any of this kind of work. I haven't received any kinds of threats like this by anybody who's Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad, and I seriously doubt they're hardcore operatives because they're frankly not smart enough to do any real type of paid propaganda. So they're doing what they always do. It's to be expected. And, it's like I said last week when we did the roundtable, thanks for the free advertising. I'm sure that more people will now come over and listen to Renegade that wouldn't have before because they promoted our network. Good for them. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate that.
For doing this 3 weeks in a row on this guy's show where we didn't instigate anything. It was a troll caller named Ray who called in and got this whole thing started. And it's been 3 weeks just nonstop attacking us. And I'm sure other shows on that network are doing the same. And, yes, it's free advertising. And it's just showing them how effective, showing the audience how effective we have been and how much we are in these people's heads. I never had any intention of having Oracle go down by my actions. That was never the intention. When I was over there, I was fighting for the team. Yes, I had disagreements with many other of the other people on the network, but I was actually trying to put out good information week after week after week, show that people were entertained by, that they wanted to listen to. That wasn't boring, that was actually hitting them with some real facts and hard-hitting information and opinion.
Right.
And people came over here with us when we were given the boot. And it's obvious that the kind of information we're discussing here is important, that people find it valid, that they're tuning in day after day and week after week to listen to this because they're not getting it anywhere else. You can get the kind of material being put out of some of these truther radio stations all over the internet. They don't have originality, and I'd like to keep bringing content of a high caliber to the table. And, you know, I'm sure that more and more networks will become fairly irrelevant unless they deal with the issues that we discuss here.
Absolutely. And that's what we're here to do. You know, we're discussing a lot of the issues that that we frankly couldn't go into in as much detail on that other network. And this has turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because now we have a forum here, thanks to you, Kyle, for all the hard work you've done with putting these sites together and this network together. And now we have a platform where we can really discuss serious issues that we've always wanted to talk about without fear of being censored or whatever. It's a great thing. And I think that, you know, I really do believe things happen for a reason, and it's an honor and privilege to be here on Renegade, and I think we have some great broadcasting in the future, and I think we'll be getting a lot of intelligent guests to come on and talk about real important subjects.
Yep, I think so. So maybe we should move past all this stuff that is now part of the past. It's no more. It's irrelevant what people on that network are saying and what they're going to be saying, you know, into Easter and then finishing up with the Fool on April Fool's Day. It's actually beautifully orchestrated in some ways, I'd say.
Yeah, and look, again, I'm going to say this, repeat this again. They didn't do a best of show or do their final show to talk about all the great broadcasts they've had and all. You know, I'm assuming that they think they put out, in their minds, quality information and shows in the past. But they decided that they didn't have any quality shows to share with their audience. And most of their audience, frankly, tonight, that's tuning in over there, is our audience, because they just want to hear what they have to say. So it's not even their audience, half of it. But the bottom line is that their biggest show, probably they're going to end with for the last couple of weeks on that Oracle network, is talking about us, free advertising, let them do it. And we'll just continue to talk about the real issues and real important stuff that they don't want to cover because they don't have the guts to cover.
And you know what? The reaction that we've gotten thus far has pretty much only been personal attacks, revealing irrelevant information, and never dealing with the issues that we're discussing in an actual insightful way. They're not going to try to debate the points we bring up. Actually, I've heard a number of these people who are so critical of us say, you know, the facts and the evidence don't matter. Sure, they're right about some things. But you know what? They're racist. They're Nazis, and they just keep throwing around these terms to try to discredit us. But I think people are, you know, starting to see through and understand that when people can't actually debate without resorting to very childish name-calling tactics and other personal attacks, then they really don't have a very good standing upon which to launch their attack. They have no basis for their attacks. They have no reason other than being pissed off that they no longer have a platform to talk about boring things that nobody really cares about anymore.
Yeah, and look, you can only talk about the banksters and globalists for so long, the New World Order, the Illuminati. You can only chase ghosts for so long, and you know, people are waking up, and many are awake to the fact that who the enemy is and who the perpetrators are behind the agenda taking place to destroy our sovereignty, our heritage, and our culture. And people want to hear shows that address these facts. And you know what? It's not about me or you or any personality on radio. I mean, I'm a flawed person. I've done a lot. I mean, we're all human beings. We've all made mistakes. And it's about, you know, in my opinion, it's not about who's bringing the message, but it's about the information. And I'm just trying to do my best at this point in my life to try to put out quality information that I feel like is relevant to what we face today and the enemies that we're up against. And that's what I want to focus on.
Yeah, it's ridiculous that people would launch personal attacks against you. Somebody who has talked many times about the kinds of drugs that you've done, the ridiculous things that you've been a part of. You've admitted all of this. You've talked about this.
I've done all those things on air.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's no big deal to me. I mean, you know, where I stand on drugs in the past was I'm for legalization of all drugs. I think people should have the right to put whatever they want to in their body. And, you know, yes, I've done drugs. Woo, I've done drugs. I've had sex. I've.
But to bring somebody's children into it, to bring your personal address into it, to release that kind of material. Even if it wasn't done over the air, it's been done a number of times, and that's just classless. It's useless. Why are people attacking us, trying to expose us, when they admit that there is a real enemy, a real threat that they could be exposing? But no, it's us. It's the Nazis again. Oh, it's the Nazi New World Order they've got to be exposing. Right here at Renegade, this is the home.
Yeah.
This is the tip of the spear you've got to be exposing of the New World Order right here. Last show on Oracle, you're gonna take down the biggest threat there is to your life and liberty right here at Renegade Broadcasting.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. And look, you know, I've learned in my life so far, in my years being alive, that those who talk the loudest and throw out the threats and all that kind of stuff, you know, they're all bark, no bite. People that take care of business don't really have to say anything. It's understood. And that's all.
Now, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, the information, it doesn't matter who the vessel for it is. Even when you were doing these shows completely out of your mind or in it, I don't know what the case was, but you were still putting forth oftentimes solid, hard-hitting information. And people should not discredit the information just because the person themselves might be flawed. I really don't think that there is a person out there who would, you know, honestly say that they don't have some flaws, that they haven't done some flawed things in the past. It's not.
Well, yeah. And Kyle, you know, a lot of the shows that I did in the past, you know, I was trying to bring my whole idea for my past shows, Nonconforming Live and Deconstructions, was trying to bring a comedy aspect to this information. I wanted to combine comedy with real information, and I wanted people to be able to have fun and be, you know, I'm not going to lie, and the other shows I did, I oftentimes wanted to entertain, make them laugh. I dabbled in stand-up comedy for a while. And the bottom line is, you know, a lot of the stuff I did, a lot of the times was, you know, I would joke around about a lot of things, you know. I mean, you know, to have fun, and I wanted the audience to be able to enjoy. You know, everything was so serious a lot of times that I wanted people to have somewhere to go where they could laugh and enjoy their day without being just bombarded. But you know, I decided to kind of drop the comedy angle. I still like to do it occasionally, but because I feel like we're in such a in a bad position right now that I kind of want to focus on serious stuff right now, because frankly it's starting to get, I mean, the worse this gets, the less funny it becomes to me, you know?
Yeah.
And when you really look at it, you're like, hey, you know, okay, I need to take this a little bit more seriously, because I realize there are more people listening to it. And I wanted to make sure I put out some good info and kind of drop a lot of the comedy stuff I used to do. But you know, I still like to revisit that from time to time. And I don't regret anything I did in the past. I think those were quality shows. So,
yeah, and if there ever is, you know, a free night here where somebody's not on and, hey, you want to do a comedy show on one of the Tuesdays, hey, this would be great. I think that it is important to reach more people and to have some humor now and again. But I agree, when the situation is so dire, laughing and joking around and talking about chasing a butthole and making up stories about having sex with celebrities and things. I don't want that on this network. I know you don't.
No.
And it's no. There's no place for it anywhere. It's very childish. like a teenage locker room. And there's so many important things that we can discuss, and we only have 7 nights a week, 2 hours a night, pretty much.
Right.
Which to do it. So, I mean, you even put out these special reports because there's not even enough time in the broadcast schedule to get all of this important information out. So just to be wasting time is so counterproductive. Mike, there's a call on the line, and Lou is also going to be joining us.
Great.
So
yeah.
Maybe we should deal with the caller first and then bring Lou in, because Lou's going to want to be
sure.
They're saying some things. All right, 614 area code. You are on the air.
Oh yeah, hey Kyle, this is Ray. How you doing?
Ray, what? Ray, you started all of this. You invited Nemo to the round table. Unless it's a different Ray.
No, it's the same one.
Yeah, you trolled but, Nemo. Yeah. You trolled Nemo, and now you caused his last shows to be all about rent-a-gay, as they call us. So. What was your purpose in making that call, Ray?
But did you hear exactly what he was saying? He sounded like a Bolshevik communist scumbag.
I heard a lot of things, and they didn't make him look very good, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly my proxy.
All right.
And, we got to fight wars by proxy, so I'll talk at you later, Kyle.
All right.
And Michael. All right? We're going to fight the fight again, okay?
All right, dude. All right. That was Ray. All right. Actually, you want to go to a quick two-minute song, and then we'll bring Lou on and start talking about the serious issues that we've only kind of broached thus far.
Sure.
I'm going to do 2 minutes. Yeah. See you later. Sayonara. Ciao.
Yep.
David might be coming on
awesome.
After midnight, so we'll
yes.
bring him on then. And now we've got Lou, who made his return to radio last night.
Great show, too. Lou.
Pick up at some point.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, everybody was... you know, commenting about his show, about using a Nazi symbolism. Oh my God! You know, and all these people out there just criticizing, and that's no way to do this or do that. You don't want to give off that image. People won't understand. Why don't you talk about? It's all a bunch of nonsense. Nobody even commented upon the whole spiel I had at the beginning, where I went on a little rant talking about the concept of separate people, common enemy.
Right.
And I think that's a pretty powerful idea. And it's always just going to be about the superficial stuff that people argue and comment. And I think a lot of those people don't even actually listen to the show. They just take a look at the description, look at the photo, and they say, oh, those rent-a-gays are Nazi lovers. They worship Hitler. It's a bunch of bullshit, and they never actually deal with the information.
Yeah, and that's what they're going to do. It's going to be – see, all this is distraction, sideshow. You know, and when we spend time, I mean, we have to talk about it a little bit, of course, because we can't just, you know, right? You know, but I mean, but this is what they love to do. This is what the agents, this is what the mainstream media does. I mean, what they're doing is no different than what the mainstream media does. They don't want to talk about or debate the real issues, so they throw all these, you know, straw men out there, straw man arguments to make you talk about that have nothing to do with the actual topic. They have nothing to do with the actual debate. And it's just all designed to be a distraction in the sideshow to take us off message. That's all.
As far as using a symbolism of the Third Reich,
mm-hmm.
In no way does having that symbol, the swastika, in a picture mean that you worship Hitler. Oftentimes, I don't think we've really even used a picture of Hitler unless it was him with Mussolini for Will's show. We don't worship Hitler. Are we going to claim he's the biggest villain, the Zionist stooge? No.
No.
I respect the man. I think he was very honestly trying to defend his people and do what was best for his nation. Mm-hmm. But people are going to obviously have different viewpoints on that. There are a million different viewpoints on Hitler, of course. He's been one of the most controversial and talked about figures for the past, 60 years, at least.
Right, and there's been, you know, tons of relevant, intelligent discourse on World War II. I mean, even people like Pat Buchanan have come out with decent arguments, historical arguments, defending, you know, Germany's position at that time. There's been other people that are in the mainstream that have defended Germany's position at that time because they were the anti-communist in the anti-communist position against a communist takeover of the world, practically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the bottom line. If you want to look at that, you know, we should be able to have these historical conversations. But people don't want to engage in those kind of conversations because they'd rather just throw around, you know, attacks and talk about distractions because they don't have a position, because they don't even know history for the most part, most likely.
Actually, I said 60 years, and, you know, it's actually been 80 or more years since, mm-hmm. well, 80 years since, 1933 there. And people have been talking about this guy for a long time, and it wasn't actually till after the war so much that he was turned into the greatest villain ever, because then they made up all of the stories about the Holocaust. And without that there, the arguments are so much less compelling for people.
Right.
Then it all falls apart, and you think, wait a second. Why did we go destroy Germany again? Why did we team up with the communists in the Soviet Union, with the Jewish Brits, the B'nai Brits in England? Why did we do
right.
that? Why did we fight against our brethren there so that Jews could take control over all of our government, banking, educational systems, and corporations? Why would we ever sacrifice that like that? Lou, welcome to the show.
Yeah, and hey, everybody.
Hey, man.
And yeah, it's all about turning brother against brother. And I believe there's even a Bible quote about that. But I can't bring it up right now, but essentially, that's what this whole Christianity thing has been about, is turning brother against brother, Catholics against Protestants. Look at the 30 Years' War, which was the major Catholic versus Protestant war. By statistically and like numerically, was the most devastating war Europe has been through. And this is all about. It's all about turning brother against brother. Particularly white brother against white brother. And not letting us organize under a certain banner, and that's what they're very afraid of.
Lou, I want to just read off that quote for you. I think this is the one you're talking about. It'd be Matthew chapter 10, lines 34 to 37. "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the world. No, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I came to set sons against their fathers, daughters against their mothers, daughter-in-laws against their mother-in-laws. Your worst enemy will be the members of your own family. Those who love the father or mother more than me are not fit to be my disciples. Those who love their son or daughter more than me are not fit to be my disciples." Now, this makes me think of communism. And
yeah,
also,
and I'll just say really quick that a lot of, like, of these Christian truthers will quickly bring, like, short end the quote as Jesus saying, "I will bring the sword."
Now,
and they fail to mention that Jesus is saying, "I'll bring the sword. I'll make you bring the sword against your own brother."
And what is the truth movement really kind of all about but dividing up people and their families, isolating those of us who are starting to question what's going on with our reality, making us seem crazy, buying into all these nonsense conspiracy theories and distractions, people, things that people will never buy. Because
bourgeoisie,
right? So it's dividing father against son, mother against daughter, all that. That quote is very much applicable to communism and the truth movement, and there are definitely some big ties between communism and the truth movement. That is for sure. Look at the people who some of the leaders in the truth movement quote. People like, of course, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, it's the Jewish movement. It's not the truth movement, it's the Jewish movement. And it's been the same Jewish movement since 2,000 years ago, since Christianity, up until communism, up until the truth movement today. It's the same fucking thing.
And I
will say that it is the same fucking thing, right? And we're talking about, we have to be revolutionaries. Do we have to be revolutionaries? The Jews are the ones that are the revolutionaries.
Yes.
We are the counter-revolutionaries. They're the terrorists. We're the counter-terrorists.
Great,
you know what
point
I mean?
There, yeah.
We're the
great
traditionalists, and they are the anti-traditionalists.
Yeah,
they're
always
trying
the
to break
ones
down
who
the wall.
Yep. Communist movements are always reactionary, revolutionary movements, and real movements that want to preserve their people's heritage and their nation are movements that do not want revolution and murder their own. It's not a nationalist concept. That is a communist concept. And anybody ranting and raving about revolution and hoping for chaos and all that kind of stuff is coming from a communist perspective, which is a Jewish perspective.
What's your about?
That's everything Alex Jones promotes. That's everything the retards and the so-called truth movement promote. I mean, even look at these simple things like someone was ragging on me a chat about a supposed quote Von Buren made to her supposed fat Jewish secretary, Carl Rosen, that the moon landing was fake. And this is the kind of thing they promote because they wanted to make it look like that.
Wait, you meant Von Braun, right? Not
Von Braun.
Van Buren was Martin Van Buren was a president that they named Martin.
Yeah.
Martin Van Ruin is what they named.
Actually, Van Buren was a pretty good president if you look him up. Actually, the whole Jeffersonian movement was to take out Van Buren and what he was working for, but that's another story.
Now,
back to Van Buren,
Von Braun.
The thing about Van Braun, Van Braun about the whole moon landing being fake, because if they say the moon landing is fake, then they can say the Nazis behind everything because there's Nazis.
Okay.
And this is what they want to push. It doesn't matter to them. Like, if you say, okay, at least some truth, they're all right. They're saying there's some conspiracy. But that's even worse than saying the truth, because as a falsehood, as an inversion.
Saying
the conspiracy on people who tried to fight the conspiracy, and that's the inversion and what we have to deal with.
Now, here's what I see has been happening, at least over the last century, is that the people who fight against the communists, who are honestly trying to do the right thing, get caught up into like John Birch Society. Ben Clausen, he got caught up into that for many years. Mike Sledge did. I signed up to the email list once. So they're fighting communism covering for the Jew. Now, the people who are fighting against the Jew oftentimes are covering for their anti-white genocidal acts. So I think, showing that the truth movement, the communist movement, the Jews movement, all of those pretty much are covering up the atrocities committed against the European people. Now, what's interesting is that there are now groups out there trying to expose the atrocities committed against the European peoples, but they won't name the Jew. So you've got groups like AMREN, American Renaissance Now, that you're not allowed to talk about it, even though many of the speakers who are going to be there know about the Jewish problem. Then you've got the EDL, as Mike has talked about in the past, over there in Britain, the English Defense League, fighting right alongside with rabbis to kick the Muslims out, who were let in by the Jews. And you've got so many other examples. There are a few other ones that, if you see them putting out all of this anti-white propaganda, but they won't mention the Jew just because, oh, maybe they could reach more people or whatever the excuse is. I'd have to wonder why they're doing that, who they're covering for. Is it really just a great, you know, public relations strategy, or is it putting out memes that will actually never get us anywhere because it has us focusing on some very serious problems but never going after the perpetrators at the highest level, the criminal masterminds?
Right, and if you put out, if you identify the crime without addressing who created the problem in the first place, what's going to happen is that the Jews find another scapegoat, a false scapegoat. What they'll do is they'll blame, like for instance, South Africa, they'll blame the murdering of the white people there, the landowners, the communists down there. They'll blame that on the and make it look like it's just a separate group of black communists that aren't even connected to the people who actually funded them. This is what they always do. So, you know, by just pointing out there's a criminal activity taking place and not really focusing on who financed that criminal activity, I really don't understand. I really don't see how that's going to benefit anything in the long run.
Yeah, but I do see that this idea of the European people being under attack, getting propagated to a large amount of people, is a good thing because they will naturally question, what is actually going on, who's behind it. I'm going to step off just for a few moments here, guys, and I'll be back in a little bit, okay?
Okay, man.
Right.
So, yeah, go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, and that's why they try to take over the narrative, because they know something's going on, and they always try to take over the narrative.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yep.
Yeah, and that's why this whole, what is it, the EDL or the, what is that,
the English Defense League, right?
English Defense League, yes.
Yeah.
And you'll see more pro-Israel signs than than anywhere else at these rallies.
Yeah, they have the pro-Israel signs out there, and they're actually in the streets with these people holding up the Israeli flag saying that they want their country back. Well, the reason their country is in such turmoil and under siege is because of that Israeli flag they're holding up in their protests. It is so retarded and so ridiculous, and they're never going to get anything back moving that direction because the people that run the immigration services who have let these people in, that those are Jewish-controlled, just like they are here. And that was always their program, was to flood in and to mix down European culture, to destroy European culture, while their tribe remained separate, out of the fight, so they could remain pure, so they could eventually rule over a whole world in turmoil. Yeah.
And ultimately, it's a publicity stunt, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you see this happening everywhere in Europe, like with the Anders Breivik thing, and I normally don't am questionable about mass shootings to a degree, but the Anders Breivik thing definitely raises more red flags for me than anything else I've seen in recent times, because they're basically pushing this message that everyone who isn't pro-Muslim culturalist is a horrible monster that wants to kill 6 million Jews or murder anyone they see fit, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately, what he actually shot down, or he allegedly shot down, was a pro-Palestinian rally, you know?
Right.
And they're deathly afraid of this more than anything. And they need to promote it and take it back. I mean, people are like, oh, you're neo-Nazis, you're all this. And no, we're paleo-Nazis. We're trying to take it back.
Well, what happened was with that thing is it had a dual purpose for the Jewish power structure, and that is, number one, it labels all nationalists as murderers and crazy people, and number two, it totally destroys any, you know, it hurts the credibility of the nationalist movement. That's what they intended it for it to do. And then number two, protect for Israel, well, so it benefits them both ways, and they all stuff when they operate. So it was a total opinion that was a totally controlled operation by them themselves.
Yeah, and it happened in Norway, which just happens to be the most anti-Zionist country in Europe.
Yeah. Absolutely, man. There's no doubt about it. And so that's what they do. That's what they always do. And they'll always continue to do that. And it's the same thing we see here with the – look, this is how they operate, whether it be character assassination, attacking the messenger and not talking about the information, or, you know, these smear tactics. This is what they're masters of. They're masters of the smear tactic. They're masters of controlling the news cycle. And this is what they've done. But the problem is they've done this so many times and over again that people don't believe it anymore. They're not falling for it anymore. And they're waking up and they're saying, you know, enough of this. We know what's going on. We're sick and tired of it, and we want our countries back.
Yeah, like smear tactics are like the lowest of the low. Like with Mr. S, I was trying to do with us earlier. Yeah, I could talk about Mr. S who slandered us earlier, but I'm not going to lower ourselves to Valley Girl tactics and do that. We're better than that. And like moving forward, like in this like transitionary phase, like I mean, Oracle might have had like X amount of listeners, but how many of those listeners were actually people who have done something?
Right.
The minority, even if it was 46, right? But like what we're doing here, like we want people who will actually do something, and I think that's what we're building here, and I think it's definitely a positive direction.
Yeah, I think we're on the right track, and I think we just need to keep putting shows out with information, historical facts, you know, that people can use to present to other people and really spread the information around so we can really get the ball rolling on trying our culture and our heritage. Look, the more that we waste our time trying to go after other irrelevant hosts. I mean, I had a slogan that I was going to say, you know, as far as the show that was attacking us. If a tree falls, or does anybody hear it? No.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. The line is, and most of the numbers that they're getting over there anyway, you know, are people that tuned in because they were talking about us. They didn't have anything to offer. They did not have a best of show because they don't have any best of shows.
Mike, yeah, and another so big segment of their listeners are just these like ex Alex Jones people who like, and you have to understand that the Jews designed the truth movement to reach out to autists and people who would be very gullible and people who wouldn't be able to enact change. Right, this is the they want all these paranoid retards to be in this movement, and they designed it around that so they can go on CNN and be look at these paranoid retards, right?
Mike, people are going to tune in because, well, if there's a big ship sinking out in the harbor, let's say, and people are going to gather around to watch it go down, and they're going to, I guess, violently fire off some rounds before they sink it to oblivion. But, you know, I just I think it's very sad, very pathetic. I thought, you know, I had a good run over there. I thought we did some good shows. Lou came on, did a show with me, a very important show there. Mike, you and I did some great work together over there.
Yep.
And, you know, we actually, after the split took place, we really moved on very quickly. And got into what we were, you know, wanting to talk about. And of course, we had to deal with our own issues.
Sure.
Kick out the rubbish from the lineup. And the
you mean you don't talk about,
with,
like, truth or nonsense?
The only reason that was dealt with the way it was, from my perspective, and the reason I went on the attack on that was because I got kicked off Oracle, and when it was obvious that an undermining process taking place to destroy this network. And that had to be brought. That's all there is to it. It was obvious that they were trying to bring us down before we even got to start this network over here. And because they were, I mean, in my opinion, it was to destroy Renegade so there wouldn't be any competition for Oracle. That's the bottom line.
And it didn't work.
Yeah, and it's like the old Bad Religion song. You're only going to die for your own.
I think it's
for an arrogant.
It obviously backfired. They sent that guy to discredit us, and then he ends up making himself look like an utter jackass, and then their
Valley Girl,
the best show on Oracle, became irrelevant, and then they really had no one solid in their lineup because one after another they started discrediting themselves.
And look, what's so funny, I'm just going to say this because it needs to be said, and I'm not trying to drill on it, but you know, look, talking about peeing in people's sandboxes, whatever the hell that's all about.
Childhood, you know, I don't have a sandbox.
Yeah, exactly. But speaking of that, the person that was pissing in everybody's sandbox was that midget down in Florida. And the bottom line is he was the one trolling everybody. He was the one talking shit about everybody. They kick us off the network, and now they're pissed off that they fired us? Doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. So whatever, man.
Hey, just wanted to well, I guess we said we're going to move on, and
yeah.
It's all right, all right. Sorry about that. When somebody drops from the Skype call, for some reason, I haven't been able to find the setting. It just ends the entire call, and it's really annoying.
Yeah.
But Lou's dropping from the Skype call here, and he's going to call into the show through the BTR show page, and we'll bring him on that way, so hopefully our audio will be a little bit better so we won't have it chopping up like that. I know it's very annoying, and sorry for the technical difficulties, anybody listening out there. But if they want to call in, if they want to you know, use their cell phone or landline, 347-633-9657. Again, 347-633-9657. Or they can go over to the show page and you have to sign up for a Blog Talk Radio account, unfortunately, to be able to use the Skype to Talk feature, but it will appear by the phone number, and you click the button and come on air that way. I actually don't think we'll get the same kind of troll phone calls that we did last week, but somebody out there wants to show their support, wants to criticize us, wants to actually engage in an intelligent discussion. The floor, I think, I think it should be open. For the rest of the show, if people really want to express their thoughts, this is a round table, and we do our individual shows during the week, so
mm-hmm.
we don't get a whole lot of time to take phone calls there. So if you want to get your phone call in, you're listening live, please think about it.
Absolutely.
No Lou back in yet, but might take him a second. Mike.
Yeah.
Let's talk briefly about what you and I were discussing after this week of or during this week of radio shows, which is this idea that we could try to not build bridges, let's say, but that we can try to I guess call for a ceasefire on shots coming our way from other groups that are not our primary enemies. Let's say an end to hostilities as much as we can have them while we focus on the primary problem. Now, this is obviously – it would be very hard to accomplish, and going out and doing – to try to build bridges to these groups, as you said, is idiotic and detrimental and counterproductive. However, if we are able to get some information through to these people and they pick up on it, run with it, such as the slogan, the meme of separate people – common enemy, then I think we can do a lot better moving forward, because there will be many battles, and the Jew loves to use his proxy armies, does he not? And if we can avoid getting into as many confrontations with the proxy armies as possible, then we can focus on really what I see as the primary problem, set that right, and then everything from there will be a piece of cake. And if you are able to unite a large amount of European people together in a cause, anything is possible.
Absolutely. And I think that is very possible to – I mean, it's already happening. We see the rising of the nationalist movements in Europe, and it's going to translate – it's going to start happening here. It already has started to happen here. And I think, you know, that's the reason why they're putting out a lot of these attacks, is because, look – you know, I think we've really hit a sore spot with with a lot of these operatives and people trying to control the message out there, because we've been going directly at naming names, hitting the enemy directly, and at the same time building up and trying to call for unity within the protection of European culture and our heritage. And I think that's important. And we're not interested really in fighting with other people who know who the common enemy is. We're interested in kind of unifying all that together in a nationalist front to really defeat the enemy that we all know who, and we all know who the enemy is. And I think we've done a good job with that. And I think that's why we're getting so much flack. And I think we're on the right path.
Now, what would scare the Jewish controllers more? A group of multi-culti, world type of people protesting them, or some very militant, separate factions of people, say black nationalists marching, not maybe a long marching, converging with white nationalists, let's say, on a common enemy. I think that would scare the shit out of them. If they actually started seeing this propaganda being promoted of separate people, common enemy, this could very well have them shaking in their boots, and I think they already are. But this would bring it to the next level, and it would counter a lot of this Django Unchained type of hatred that's coming our way to a certain extent.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And look, George Lincoln Rockwell was trying to do that back in the 60s, you know? And I think it was a brilliant approach. He was killed not too long after that, very circumstances. So they definitely are afraid of them. Ultimately, the Jewish controllers get off, you know, pitting everybody against each other while they stay out of the fight and manipulate both sides. Like, you know, like we were talking about earlier, the Jews pretend when they're hanging out with the white group, they pretend to be white. When they're hanging out with the minority group, blacks or what have you, they pretend to be the victims, like you were saying.
Well,
and
they still play victims with the white crowd to get sympathy.
Sure.
But exactly, they want to seem like they're against the evil white oppressor when they're talking to blacks, even though they hate the Schwarzes.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you remember when Al Gore, you know, who is a Jew, you used to go into the black churches and try to sound like a black preacher?
wasn't a radio show host doing that earlier tonight? If anybody was listening, I think they know what I'm talking about, but
oh,
yeah, and we go, we're what? Sitting here, and saying, okay, maybe the black cultural attack on white people is a bad thing when it's completely a Jewish construct, and it's far from like Muhammad Ali's prospect, right? Of like bluebirds fight with bluebirds, you know what I mean? And, I mean, we need more black guys like that, and I know there's a lot of them out there, and they need to start speaking up.
Well, the NSDAP provided another example when they allowed for SS officers of many different races, many different nations were brought in to the SS, and they respected their different cultures. I even gave out Qurans with a swastika on it. Now, maybe some people would argue this is a bad move, but strategically, I think it worked fairly well for them. And people were joining up with this organization as unified people, but they were doing so especially because they respected the people they were joining with and trying to emulate. And they did see that though they were separate people, they very much did have a common enemy.
Absolutely.
Right, and like, and what Adolf Hitler, people don't recognize what Adolf Hitler did was free the Third World from, like, before World War II, Britain and France were Rothschild proxies anyway, but they controlled much of what we call the Third World today.
Yes,
and it
wasn't
until World War II that these no longer became directly ran proxy states.
Yep. And as a matter of fact, it was the French under the Allied command who brought in African troops to commit genocide in Italy. Okay? And so, exactly. You know, people always like to throw all this misinformation and history revisionism on what Germany did and what they didn't do, because, you know, the victors always write history, but the defaming and the history revisionism continues day in and day out, and they never talk about the real multicultural nightmare and the real genocide that took place in World War II that were on the Allied forces side. And, you know, but again, try to have an intelligent discussion
India,
of history.
That's 1 billion people today. 1 billion people in India. It wouldn't be free unless it was for Adolf fucking Hitler.
Yeah.
Right?
Now, Mike, that was a great point, and people don't realize the extent of the Allied atrocities. And you could just pick up single examples of it, of course, even just in one bombing raid to show how awful it was, how they started being the ones who targeted civilians, you know, all throughout Germany, bombing their civilian populations, and then moving that over to Japan on a larger scale in two different incidents is. And that should be horrific enough, but people don't realize about what they did to the prisoners of war afterwards, the Germans, the hangings, the kangaroo courts there, and the run-of-the-mill soldiers, the ones that they weren't going to charge with war crimes, they just put out in open-air camps and allow them to starve to death. Millions. I think it's something like 1.7 million or something. Now, the Allied prisoners, right, 99% of them survived through, the ones who were detained. They got out alive. They kept their prisoners well-fed, nourished. And some people will say that Hitler must have been a Jew because, he had those swimming pools for the Jews in Auschwitz, and he had theater for them, and he had a football pitch, and he didn't kill all of these Jews, so he wasn't really fighting the good fight. Because he acted honorably, we should say that he must have been a Zionist stooge. Because
what else are you gonna do? You're an honorable person. You gotta lock people up in camps. It's not even that hard to build a swimming pool. Or a soccer thing. I mean, what else are these people going to do? I mean, common sense of what you do in a theater of war, right? And it's so hard for people to move on past the emotional trauma that's been put on them since high school about Nazi Germany being a bad thing.
And
that's really important because, like, when I come across people who really promote the Jim Condit line, they're unable to overcome the emotional hurdles that have been built in them for decades. And that's what it's all about, right? Because if World War II, right, was like a new gospel for the world. And where Hitler is Satan and the Jews are precious angels, right?
And the Holocaust is a holy religion.
Right. Yeah. And people rag on us because we use, like, Nazi symbols. But at the end of the day, nothing's going to change, ultimately. And I'm not saying that you need to go to Joe Schlub and say, hey, you guy who just finished watching Fox News for 3 hours, Hitler was actually awesome because I said so. It's not going to work. But ultimately, I think the Germans, and I think that we shouldn't even call them the Nazis anymore. We should just call them the Germans. Right?
Yeah, because, you know, the Jewish Congress in the International Jewry declared war on Germany going back to World War I and the German people before they even were in the governmental system.
Yeah,
so,
it's not
yeah.
even the Nazis. It's the fucking
nah.
Germans.
Yeah.
So the Germans, right, and they do that to further dehumanize the whole country. But ultimately, like, they want it to be the Nazi devil, right, and all this nonsense. But it's the Germans fighting for self-determination. And what they hate the most is whites fighting for self-determination. And they've hated it for 2,000 years at least. Like, ever since, maybe it was the fact that they saw the Europeans could sack Rome. right? The Northern Europeans. Maybe they saw that as a threat because Christianity was a tripartite attack system. The Greeks, the Romans, and the Europeans, the Northern Europeans, because they used it to conquer all three of these things. So it was constructed to attack these three groups.
Right. I also think it's interesting what Kyle brought up earlier was that, you know, they can't get their story straight. The people who want to attack history or attack people putting out, you know, intelligent debate on history is that you're either a Nazi, and then in the same sentence they call you a Jew. Well, which is it? Are we Jews? Are we Nazis?
Let's talk about this practically.
And
go after the claim that Hitler must have been a Jew because he treated Jews well when they were his friends, which is the honorable thing to do. People are out there arguing that the only thing that should have been done was that they should have all been slaughtered. Now, this is obviously a communist Bolshevik technique. This is not what honorable people do.
No.
Now, I do think that some would probably need to lose their lives for committing the highest crimes against people, many nations. I think that they probably would need to lose their lives fairly after, you know, the evidence was put forth or in fighting. But
yeah, like people like these Rothschilds and these George Soros types, you know, just cut their fucking heads off and make
all
it
right.
over with.
Well,
right?
you don't need to name names and make threats on air,
right?
Like that.
Oh,
wow. But
give them a hug and a jail time.
But the point now, maybe it would be somewhat like what Bobby Fischer was advocating. Maybe not that extreme, but the point is that I don't want to ever go down in history as a genocidal maniac. And I know that you know, this has been smeared against some people who were trying to do the right thing, like, let's say, Hitler. But then other people get free passes for killing tens of millions of their own people when they're not even at war. Oh, because it's a communist revolution. It's always ongoing. It's always war. And, you know, I just think that holding yourself to a higher standard, although maybe sometimes it's not immediately going to win out when people are using dirty tactics, I think that in the long run, this type of nobility, this type of honorable mindset would be the best way to go about it. And I don't think that
it's the European way, right?
Yeah, I don't think that all Jews should be killed. I think that's absurd. I think that people who advocate that are not thinking clearly or are being paid shills. Now,
and the Vedas clearly state, and the Vedas predicted Adam and Eve, Jesus Christ, and Mohammed. And I can back that up. But they clearly state that the Jews that are dealt with are the ones that pose as kings. And these are your CEOs, your
ministers of whatever department.
Yeah, yeah. Your stars in the U.S. State Department, your dual citizens in the U.S. State Department, Dov... Zakheim.
Cohen.
Guys like this.
Well, I think
like this, and they clearly state that these are the guys who are going to be taken out.
Well, think about how much
and because of the mass of the Jews, they've been brainwashed, but I mean, you know,
I think look at
the German army in World War II, and like you had all these half and quarter Jews who identified as German first because they thought that the whole Jewish thing was retarded.
That's something that is used to discredit the National Socialists for not being anti-Jew enough, for letting partial Jews into their military who wanted to serve.
Yeah, yeah, and if anything, that discredits Jewry, right? Because they were like, hey, fuck this, right?
Now,
and if you look at, like, there might have been, like, a couple million Jews in Germany at the time, and it was, like, what, 100,000 of partial Jews in the army at the time, and that's like a normal number, man.
Now,
and plus, we add on the fact that if you join the army as a partial Jew, that would get your family out of trouble.
Right.
And
now,
so so much about it that people just don't recognize, and they just follow talking points from Jim Condit or Carl Rosen or whatever, right?
Yeah, just wanted to say also that these Jewish people, I wouldn't want to ever blame the perpetrator. I mean, get blame away from a perpetrator of a crime, but some of them have been victimized, many of them, from a very early age by all the Jewish propaganda brainwashing. And I do feel somewhat bad for them for having, you know, to live these terrible, restricted and disgusting lives in many instances. So I think having some human sympathy while not getting overly soft is a very important thing to do.
Yeah, but on that hand, you shouldn't give them that much credit, because I think that they need to recognize what they've actually been put through, and being able to publicly state it and come up with it and turn away from it. I think that's very important.
Well, people can be re-educated.
It's one thing to be a victim, and it's another thing to recognize yourself as a victim, even so that you recognize yourself as a victim and being able to stand up against your perpetrators, right? Like, and I understand that, like, if you come up against the Jewish state as a Jew, you'll be marked as sort of a martyr or an outcast. And more need to come out with that, because it is truly wrong on a moral and humanistic sense what they're doing. And more Jews need to come out and say this type of stuff.
Hey, I think we might have David and Travis on.
Dave! Right.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, maybe...
Good talk to you guys tonight. There's some good points there. What I wanted to what y'all were just talking about, you know, General Patton was assigned after the war.
David, do you still have your radio show on?
Hold on. Let me kill that. Hold on. Okay, there we go. I just killed it. Okay, you know, General Patton after the war was assigned a certain part of Germany, and he was given instructions on how he should handle the treatment of the German people, and General Patton would refuse to follow any orders that involved treating a German in a way that was bad if he had not been put on trial and he had some sort of guilt. And I think in this particular instance, if you're talking about what should happen in the future, I think obviously what Lou was saying about the Jewish people being able to recognize what has been done under their name, and they should be certainly just informed of this. And, of course, the people who are guilty of any crimes need to go on trial, and they also need to receive whatever punishment is appropriate for what it is that they have done. And I don't know any other solution other than to just put them all on Madagascar.
Well, yeah, and the Vedas allude to this. The Vedas clearly state that the Malekha wannabe Aryan kings are destroyed, and the remaining Malekhas, who are actually the Jews, go on to, you know, do science stuff and stuff like that. And, you know, and I mean, I think that's where we're headed. And if you look at Patton, I mean, Patton was a beast. I mean, like, he actually almost qualified for the Olympics in, like, three different categories. Like, one was pistol shooting, and he only got dismissed from pistol shooting because he shot so well that he got the same hole, like, three times, and they couldn't confirm it. Right? But he, like, was, I think another was the triathlon, and I forget the other one. But, like, he... And if you look at, like, the numbers, he was, like, literally the greatest general of all time because he took the most land over any general than any other general in history, right? And if friggin' Patton had the, you know, remnants of the German army with a couple American bros, they could have took it down, like, Moscow in fucking no time. And I goddamn wish with all my soul that they did, because we'd be living in a whole different world if he was able to pull that off.
You know, there's another issue, too. If anybody's done any real research into the Nuremberg trials, you'll find out just how much that was just a total kangaroo court. And if you look at the stories of how the those who were convicted were to receive their punishment and what happened to them, there is sort of a beta here that does need to be dealt with. Because I can tell you, won't give you one, Julius Streicher was not part of the government. He was not part of the military. He was just, all he was just a newspaper guy. And right. All he did was just write stories about the Jews. And he was convicted of crimes against humanity. And everybody who received the sentence of hanging at the Nuremberg trials, they were the ones who were in charge of putting the ropes around their necks, were told to do it in such a manner that it would not break their neck and they would suffocate to death. And some of them lived as long as 20 minutes after that rope went around their neck tightly.
I gotta say, though, Julius Streicher has my number one for best last words of any human being ever. Before they hung him, he said to the crowd, "Purim Fest 1945.
yes, he did. And another thing, too, is that all the bodies, they burned them, and then they dumped ashes in the river. That way there'd be no martyrs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Same with the alleged story of Bin Laden, right? Dumped in the river, you know? It's a message.
Well, presuming we can believe anything that was told about him, so he could off living nicely somewhere.
Well, it's the message they're putting out, right?
Right,
you know what
that's
I mean?
True. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know what all I missed, guys, but y'all are in a good conversation here. Don't let me stop you.
No, man. Go ahead, David. I was just tired. It's been a long day, man. I got family in town, you know, it's a holiday weekend, and...
I had on my list of things to do on one of my shows, and that was a little piece on the Nuremberg trials and how they all were treated. But you got a little taste of that in advance. So,
yeah,
but I've got
great.
I've got a more detailed story to put out on that. So, but as far as how to deal with these people, if anybody's found guilty of committing a crime, then they need to go on trial. You know, we should not act like them, you know.
Yep.
But we should be upright in the way we handle things and the way that we do things in our culture, and that is a fair trial with a jury, and if they don't want a jury, then a fair judge, and so be it.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I totally agree. You know, the guilty have to be held accountable. That's all there is to it. I mean, we're talking about mass murder here. We're talking about millions of people that have lost their lives. And down the road, you know, if that day ever comes into then they need to – I totally agree that they have to be put on trial. They have to be held accountable for their actions, man. Yeah.
I don't know that there's anything else I can add to that. So where else were you going with this story before I got here?
Gonna chase him to the ocean and have him swimming in freestyle.
Yeah, there you go.
Dustbin of history. That's what I say.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
That's what Dr. Willick.
Oh, I know what I was. When I got back from running my errand, I came in and listened to some of this. You know, the history of World War II was actually written by the Council of Nations, and the book The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich was written by William Shire. He was a member. He was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. So, thought I'd throw that in there.
Yeah, that's a good point, man. Because you know, they all those guys that rewrote the history were all tied in, going back to the CFR, which goes back to House, going back to the Wilson administration, which was involved in the first assault on Germany, World War One. So, yeah.
Another thing they did after the end of World War was they combed the whole continent for documents that would shed any light on the guilt of any guilty party on the side of the Allies. They destroyed them.
Right.
They do that after all wars.
Yeah, they don't want any loose ends, man.
It was only until in the 90s that the Katyn massacre was finally revealed after the Soviet Union collapsed. The documents were released, even though the International Red Cross in the 40s was saying, hey, you got to look at this. This was done by the Soviets. This was not a German atrocity. No, we can't make Uncle Joe look bad.
Well, yeah. You know, the thing about that, too, is that I don't know when the Red Cross came into being or who was behind it from its inception, but I do know one thing. You don't want to give money to them now for whatever reason because they're Jews. Could have been run by a bunch of Jews then, too. I don't know. I will say this, though. There were other military intelligence officers that after the fall of the wall, came out with their own books about some of the history of World War II. And in particular, I wrote a book called The Chief Culprit, and he lays the blame of most of World War II onto Stalin. And he's a former military intelligence officer in the Soviet Union. He lives in London now. You can buy that book on Amazon, by the way. I recommend buying it.
Yes, that's a very important information there. And the main thing that a lot of people understand is that basically Churchill, Roosevelt, Stalin, that was the of the globe. That's what that was. That's all that was. And again, that's what we were talking about earlier, is it's very important that people understand that Germany was the buffer. It was the only resistance against the onslaught of the spread of communism. You had the whole world against one country who was trying to stop the communist takeover of Europe.
They try to make the Axis seem like it was all these evil countries together. The real heart and soul of the Axis was right there in Germany. And people recognize that, I think, to a certain extent. But they mm-hmm. they try to make it seem like Japan and Italy and that they were actually country that they were actually these really really fierce multinational people that were just on the verge of taking over the entire world. When no, the thing is just having a few nations that were standing up against kind of communist takeover of all lands, and it was amazing what Germany, as a country that just come back from defeat, was one of the only non-empires in that struggle, was able to accomplish in such a short period of time, and the odds were really stacked against them, and yet they almost pulled it off, and that one nation almost brought down all of the sickening, disgusting communist states that were being used as proxies for the Jew.
Yeah, and this is the thing, though. This is the inversion that they tried to take over the world. But if you look at it rationally, they saved the fucking world. They did. I don't see communism when I look over my right shoulder, my left shoulder.
You're in Canada.
It doesn't exist.
Canada.
Well, Canada's pretty close, but
you can't even challenge
plan. The original plan for World War II was for communism to take over basically the world and for them to push on into the Arabian world, at least in my perspective.
Well, they
set up a Red Israel. And they failed. No one really won World War II. The communists didn't win. The capitalists didn't win. The fascists didn't win.
The Jews won.
It was a war. Yeah. They won in theory, but they didn't get all what they wanted.
That's true.
They didn't get what they wanted. and they didn't get what they wanted is proof of why we're here is talking about these types of things.
Yeah,
and they,
know,
didn't,
that was a
they didn't get their rest
piece.
Israel. Right. They didn't get their rest Israel. They didn't get everything that they wanted. And the stand that Germany took was able to protect the world, at least until now. So
let David talk for a second, please. Thanks.
And see that before we get too far along, and I don't want to interrupt you, Lou, because you were on the flow, but I did want to say one thing before it got lost. You know, that piece about Germany wanting to take over the world was a propaganda piece by Roosevelt, and they did some propaganda. They did show some maps where Germany about the world a piece at a time, and the whole point of that, though, is that remember how the Jews will always accuse everybody else of doing what it is that they do.
Right.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Yeah, they always like project.
Yeah, you know what? If you were actually to take all these propaganda films about the Holocaust and just take out the German officers and then put in Jewish Bolsheviks instead, and instead of it being Jews being persecuted, just have it be the Slavs, the White Russians, the Germans, Arabic people, you know, almost any other people, even the communists in. It would be great, you know. This would be the proper kind of propaganda, but as you know, we've been stressing, it was an inversion. They just switched it around, and their crimes got put on upon a people who were destroyed, not destroyed, defeated.
Right.
Yeah, and I remembered in high school, they had a Holocaust survivor come and speak, and I got kicked out of the theater there for laughing my ass off. And this is when I was a little kid, right? But, I mean, people say, Germany lost, Germany lost. Well, did they really lose? Because they surely took the piss out of communism, right? And their struggle was enough to hold back the tide.
An inspired many,
and no,
too.
Yes, exactly. And no matter how much they inverted or how much they say about it, they can't take that away. And ultimately, you need to look at things rationally because they say it's all about so much is burned into people's brains about Nazis being evil. Ultimately, they sort of saved Western civilization. And maybe at some point Hitler recognizes what happened and recognized if I take the stand, maybe I will save Western civilization, even though if the Germans might take a hit. Well, they took a hit in World War I.
And maybe
they'll take a hit in World War II and they'll still stand strong. Right now, from what I can hear about the Germans, is they're tired. They fought this thing twice. In direct history, in direct future, rather. They might not be able to fight this as much as they have, but they fought it twice, you know?
Well, you know what is great? That even though the Jews were able to take so much power after the Second World War, and it seemed like Germans had defeated. They didn't follow through on the plan of all Germans must perish in terms of wiping them out forever. But you know what? It's great because no matter how much the odds are stacked against us, no matter how many operators are in lands, no matter how many puppet governments they have installed, there are still people, say, in Germany, the people who are called the immortals that put on their masks, take out their torches, and do rallies at night. There's still people like actually work for Greece in the Golden Dawn. There are still nationalists in the United States who know what's going on, who are continuing this fight to the day, and all over the world there are people, probably you know, in China, in Japan, in all nations who understand what the problem is and are working to make a better planet for themselves and for their people. And ultimately, when people act in this kind of self-interest and also in a racial interest, then I think it will be a better world for all of us. And I think that this is what some of these people who worked with Hitler actually recognized. And I think that it's amazing what can be accomplished when just some dedicated people get together for a show of force, for sharing ideas, for planning for the future. And I wouldn't say that we're as defeated as many people would want to make it seem, like we are some leftover group of just irrelevant, nostalgic people that, you know, are having fanciful visions of what might be possible for our future. You know, just because we're not apathetic, just because we have hunger, just because we have confidence in our people and in our determination.
And that's something I want to bring up, too. It's like, you think all these, like, ex-industrialists from Nazi Germany are just going to lay down? They're planning for the next war. My favorite quote from Iron Cross, it was a movie about, German soldiers in World War II. It's like, and it got to the point in the movie where they were like, they thought they were going to lose. And there was this one brilliant guy, one of the more brilliant guys in the movie, and the general asked him, what are you going to do after this war? And he said, I'm going to prepare for the next one. Right? And so therefore, I mean, do you think all these industrialist constructs and all these bourgeoisie are sitting around thinking, okay, we're just going to kowtow to the Jews? No, they're not. They're waiting for people like us to stand up. And they're waiting for the time where something they can promote and throw their weight behind arises. And it's the same with the WASP establishment in America. You have a lot of WASP industries that are, you know, they don't want to make a sour investment. And they're waiting for something to arise that they can put their strength behind. And that's something we need to realize, is that, like, it's not about the bourgeoisie. It's not about the 1%. We should be looking at towards what 1% types of people we can integrate into our movement. But they won't integrate until we have something solid.
Yes. David, what were you going to say there?
I was going to say that Lou is right about the WASP and the old money. There's a lot of oil men here in Texas who are good old boy white guys, and they know exactly what's going on. And,
exactly. I want to integrate quickly. Actually, the Rockefellers have been trying to
take down
the oil sands recently, too, right, here in Canada. Go on.
You got to let people talk on the roundtable a little bit. You know, I know you got a lot of information to share, but we don't get David here all the time.
And these guys in the oil business, they're getting up there in age, but they all have children. And whenever their children get ready to inherit this money, and hopefully that they'll be able to do something with their inheritance towards our cause. But like Lou just said, we got to have something out there that people. And there's a lot of people otherwise, not just in the oil business, but a lot of people otherwise who know that there's something wrong. They can't all put their fingers on it, but at some point, if the information is available to them, and the time comes when enough people start what we're doing and what we're talking about, they'll be happy to join our cause.
Yeah,
no, I mean, I wouldn't even go as far to say as they don't have their finger on it. I just think they know it's the Jews, and they just don't want to come out against the Jews because they know the Jews will ruin their fortunes. And so, therefore, like, when we start coming out with this with a respectable movement, and this is part of why the National Socialists were able to come to power, is because all of these German industrialists, we're like, okay, we can bet our chips on these guys. They have a good chance of winning. And once we grow further, I mean, we think that we might sort of lose, but as we go further and gain strength, we will see supporters coming out of, consumers coming out of nowhere to support us, but we need to have the strength.
You know, what I really thought was funny recently was this thing I saw about how the Jews want a new Jewish state in Germany now. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
This is, oh my God, this is probably the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen lately, and that is these more liberal Jews, they want a new homeland in Germany because they feel that Israel is just too mean-spirited, and they want to have more of their hippie granola bongo drum state in Germany.
Wow. Did you see about the Jew in the box?
Mm-mm.
They have got this exhibit in one of these art museums in Germany now where it's a Jew sitting inside a box answering questions about what it's like to be a Jew, about the history of the Jews. And so these German people go in there and ask the Jew in the box some questions.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know what? It's Yahweh, you know? As long, like, the more we can take Yahweh down, the better, I feel.
Well, again, Yahweh is not the collective Jewish people.
Exactly. It's this collective conscious construct that's been plaguing this goddamn world for who knows how long. And this archonic construct needs to be attacked more than I think people are attacking it. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you can blame Hollywood. You can blame the banks. You can blame capitalism and consumerism. But at the end of the day, what's keeping the Jews in charge is these Christian Zionists buying all of the latter concepts I mentioned because they're Christian fucking Zionists. And that's what has murdered more Europeans than anything else is this fucking Christian concept. And I think more needs to be done, but it needs to be taken down with a scalpel. It's going to be very tricky to move forward, but I mean, whatever happens, the more that can be taken out of. And people like, oh, Christianity, communism, the same fucking thing. Both of them need to be taken out because it's the same thing, and they need to be recognized as the same thing, and they're both garbage.
Now, I'd like to make a distinction here.
Mm-hmm.
Christianity, I think, should be done away with as a kind of a mindset amongst our people. But that does not mean that we should be killing Christians, which is what communists and Jews and Muslims and many others have loved to do for so many years. I think we need to protect Christians, but not Christianity, if you get where I'm going with that.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true. And communism is the ultimate direction that Christianity leads to. Christianity is just a stepping-off point to get to communism. It conditions you to think in a certain manner of being a slave, which is what they want whenever they want to bring it. And
yeah,
so it's got,
you actually have a point there because you can't really
back,
be a communist.
Luke, you got to let people finish.
First a Christian.
What's that?
You can't truly be a communist unless you're a Christian at some point.
Ultimately, that's correct, yeah. The only realization that your Christian God really does not exist at all, and that's where the Jewish man is to eventually prove there really is no Christian God, is there? There's only Jews, right?
Right, now, and the fact that they even had to create communism. It was that Christianity was failing. Just look at the Enlightenment. No one really cared about it anymore. And they had to make something up to try to keep their power base.
You know, look at the Lakewood Church here in Houston that's on TV all the time. You know, what does TF say? Have any of you I mean, you know, I watched it just to see what he was like, because he was a And of course, and by the way, as soon as I become dictator, I'm turning that building back to the facility. So, but you know, they're trying to transform it into basically a bunch of nothingness. All it is just positive attitude, and that's all it is. And you know, he never actually says anything of any. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that anything that they would preach would have any value to begin with. But if I was an old-time Christian guy and I turned this guy on to listen to him, I'd be laughing my ass off. Saying what talking about. He talks about nothing, and that's and at some point it's going to have to go away. People are starting to figure out that it's just a bunch of crap, and the only thing that really keeps I think people in line for the most part is if the they own and there is no alternative thereof. What happens in a lot of people is a tragedy happens in their life and they turn to religion. And so the only thing they know is Christianity, and they run back to it. Go ahead.
A weak point.
Sermon about nothing made me think about a show about things, Seinfeld, the kind of nihilism there. And also a show about nothing. There's a show about nothing that's going nowhere tomorrow night as well. I just wanted to bring that up. They talk, but they really don't ever seem to get anywhere. They don't really seem to ever offer solutions, never really have facts or evidence. And it goes into the past. It's no longer relevant. I'm hoping that is fucking utter nonsense or outright lies or distortions.
Yeah, and said show has ripped off our work for years now. I can't remember how many times said host made hour-long talking points about a couple words I said on Skype, you know, and I imagine you guys are in the same boat, you know what I mean? And, I mean, now that he's without that certain anchor, he doesn't really have much to talk about, does he?
Yeah, and he has other people release information for him that only he was privy to.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean...
Let me just say this right here. That just goes when I did in the archives exposing the Rebel shows there. I said on there that he was the one in the chat rooms releasing it about myself and Carly Giuliani's trying to start a war between me and Trump, trying to divide people. This is what he does. He's the biggest troll that ever existed, and this is all he knows how to do. His whole career has been bashing other people. Because he can't do anything else. He has no material besides assholes and Hollywood. He has nothing else to offer. And so he just attacks people. And that's
all
he does.
Yeah, and
he took all
that
from, so
like,
silly
black
and irrelevant.
Activists, too, right? He actually took all of that information from black activists.
Luke, I just wanted to... I mean, I know that it's hard on a round table, but if you just let somebody finish their thought and just wait for the pause, I mean, you know, we try to do it with you, so just let somebody kind of finish their thought, because otherwise...
Sorry, bro. Go ahead.
It's really,
I get it.
No, I just... It makes the show much better that way. Guys, we got 20 minutes here. I haven't even checked the studio. I don't think we have any callers. No. We could take callers, but we've got David on, we've got Mike, we got Lou, we got myself here. We got plenty on the round table thus far. Where you guys want to go over the last 20 minutes? David, maybe you want to talk about just briefly what you've got going on your show tomorrow?
Yeah. What I've got lined up is I'm going to wrap up this the arguments on Lincoln's secession issues, and then I'm going to discuss the word Aryan. And after that, I'm going to discuss Osara, which is commonly referred to as Easter. And depending on how left, I may add a couple of it. But this word Aryan, you know, past couple of weeks seems to be getting kicked around like a football. And I think the people throwing it around don't have a clue what the hell.
Yeah, the shitty carriers. Thinking they're SS members or something of this nature. It's sort of ridiculous.
Well, you know who else. But anyway, that's my show for tomorrow night. So everybody listen in or catch it in the archives if you can't make it.
Yeah, it sounds like a great show, man. It really does.
Yeah, then I got Dr. Kevin McDonald coming on Monday for that
right.
show.
I'm definitely looking forward to that, man.
Well,
that'll be awesome.
If nothing else comes up, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to do two whole hours, but I've obviously got a lot to talk to him about. I think he's definitely someone that I think almost everyone who comes across his material has come to respect in terms of just offering a very analytical, scholarly approach to the Jewish influence in the 20th century.
And
yeah,
McSween
and McDonald Lyons have been allies in history, as far as I respect him for that. But then I respect him for the work he puts out. It's legendary, and I respect the guy a lot, and I really look forward to that, because like a lot of the interviews he does is sort of basic. So I'm really looking forward to what you guys talk about, man. Because I'm a big fan of Kevin Mac.
Well, you know, most of the time when I've heard Kevin McDonald, it's been on the David Duke show that's on another network. And, you know, I find that David Duke leads him in what Duke put out to the people for his audience. So my only suggestion to you, Kyle, is to make sure that he knows that where we stand on the issues, if you can talk to him in advance, and that way he feels real comfortable about saying whatever. Like David Duke wants to do, and you know, you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'll try to give him a kind of an open floor to you know take the discussion where he wants. Obviously, I'll ask. But I'd like to just get him kind of putting forth his own agenda as to what he thinks is the most important material to be presenting in terms of how we have become so self emasculated. Written as European people, so apologetic to everyone, and you know how we're supposed to just debase ourselves in order to be accepted into this new multi-culti club.
Yeah, and you have to realize that this guy is vastly intelligent, so whatever craziest question you come up with, you could probably give a good answer for them, man. So keep that in mind, too.
I just find that if you don't let them know, you know, you're kind of hold back when they want to be a little reserved because they want to try to make sure they don't offend anyone. So, you know, if you let them know that we're not Christians, hey, that's great, you know.
Yeah, people don't want to go on a Christian network and start bashing Christianity.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to go on RBN and just talk all about how Jesus is just a dead on a stick. I didn't even say it.
Yeah, well, you know, over here we don't worship a persecuted Jew, so.
Hey, what's that old saying? The Jew is the only one who cries out when he strikes you.
Yeah, that's some old Polish saying. The Jew, yes, I think you said it correctly. The Jew cries out while he's hitting you or something like that.
Yeah, well, let's see, Mike.
Yes.
You have put out some, I wouldn't say polarizing, maybe that would be the word. You put out some material that's hard-hitting. You are unafraid to state your feelings. And, you know, you did actually self-censor quite a bit, I think, when you were on Oracle, when you had the influence of certain other hosts there trying to keep you in line from actually speaking your piece. But now on Renegade, you're putting it out there, and I like it. I like the way that you're going with this. And I think that not everybody needs to exactly present things in the same way, but you know what? I think that got the conversation going for a lot of people, and a lot of people agree with you, and a lot of people think you're a jerk for what you said. But yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, and especially since you went into reconstructions mode.
Well,
and you've just been spitting fire, man. It's been brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Position,
keep it up.
Thanks. If you take a position in anything, you're automatically going to have, you know, people that disagree with you, people that don't, whatever, and that's normal. But look, the bottom line is, I do find this interesting. When we were over at Oracle, you know, the show that I got in trouble for the most was a European culture show. It wasn't even the Jew stuff. It was European culture show. And also, Kyle, that time we did a show together.
Yeah, where Drew Ma was on for the first hour, talking utter nonsense, bashing on white people, and then I came on the second hour, just trying to go the complete opposite direction. And yeah, we got some flack for that, but I also think we earned some people's respect for being willing to talk about such a sensitive subject on the air. And you know what? Once we did, I think it opened up people to feeling comfortable about talking about in their ancestry as well.
Yeah, and on that note, I think, like, when you brought me on to my first show, Kyle, when we were talking about, like, World War II stuff, I think that changed a lot over there in Oracle Land, and it steered things away from the Jim Condit narrative, which Dov and Rebel promoted, and I think that caused a lot of things there as well, because, you know?
Yep.
I think everybody had some contribution in that, even though, you know, I was not a host, I was a regular caller, and I know good and darn well that if you guys got in trouble, I had a hand in it, so.
Hey, you're one of the
David,
boys,
also,
man. Yeah.
Also, your emails to a lot of us, I know in regards to me, you send me emails all the time, that really helped me kind of see other points of view that I wasn't really understanding, I wasn't seeing properly before, and that really, you know, when I started doing shows and some of the suggestions that you made to me, I think really started pissing people off even more.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, that's the kind of thing I've been doing for years. I would feed people who have a mouthpiece information and say, hey, do this, you know, and sometimes they would, sometimes they wouldn't. You did, and I'm glad you did. You're doing a damn good job. And by the way, you've on one of your shows recently, you dug up some research that I had completely forgotten about. And it's probably been like 12 or 13 years since I read about it. It had something to do with those legal cases on dual citizenship. And when you said that, I was like, shit, I haven't heard that in years. Where did he dig that up at? You know? So you're doing a damn good job, Mike. Keep it up, man. Clap, 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 okay?
I think all of us are doing a great job here, and I think we just need to continue what we're doing. I think everybody's hitting different aspects of what's going on, and, you know, all of our shows together, I think, make a lineup and a great team, and I just, I'm really excited on where we're headed. I think it's going to be an exciting year.
Yeah, and we're just getting started, too. I think the four of us are very much on the same page. We have very similar views, and we're pretty similar on the intelligence level, which is somewhat high, I have to admit. But I think, like, us four, like, are the core, like, of this Renegade thing. And, I mean, it's only been, like, a couple months, and I mean, it's only up from here. Because we're really putting out new and revolutionary stuff that hasn't been touched on before, and I really look forward to where we're going from here. So, I mean, it's been nothing like what's been happening before. So, I mean, we just got to push forward with that and see where it takes us, you know?
And remember, if we're not getting attacked, we're not hitting them hard enough.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You know, some of this information, though, has come out. It's just that it's hasn't been exposed to the younger people. You know, if you listen to go back and listen to a lot of the older shows from the nationalist movements, you know, going back 10 years ago or so, you know, or maybe even less, then some of the same stuff. But it's just been in a different format, and it doesn't have the excitement that we have over here. Or the same group of people who are all kind of working together on the same page. You just get it from bits and pieces from different. So,
you know,
this is new.
Listen to George Lincoln Rockwell back in the 60s, though. His speech, which I was playing on the stream somewhat recently. Man, this guy was—he was killing it in many different ways. He was really getting to the heart of the issue. He was turning a hostile audience into into an audience that was laughing along with his different quips, with his different little jokes he was making through the presentation. And he was really getting through to a lot of people. And his presentation was great. And he put on that armband. I guess he explained this to Dr. William Pierce. Put on the armband and did the whole American Nazi Party thing, labeling themselves that, and the hate bus, to get immediate attention, because they're paying attention to him otherwise. So I think that worked for him in some ways. They were able to end that particular movement for that particular time. And yes, the American Nazi Party still continues, but I don't think it's anything like it was then. And they were putting forward a very clean, intelligent, upstanding image for themselves. And they were, he was very talented himself. And I think that it's a shame that we're given, you know, a martyr like Dr. Martin Luther King, who shouldn't have been a doctor, was also a communist agitator, that we should have so much named after him, we should learn all about him, but we aren't even told one thing about who George Lincoln Rockwell was at all in our history classes. I know I wasn't. Maybe some of you knew about him when you were being educated or whatnot, but I certainly never heard that name.
No, he was only in the news at the time that if you were alive to and old enough to know what was going on. And I remember hearing something once when I was young. I don't remember what it was. It was, my memory on that is real vague. But yeah, you're right. You'll never hear that, you know. And it's really sad. And it's just how it shows just how much control they have over the people's minds in this country, to where you will never hear something for the people that. And change that.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we got to hit him at all these different levels too. We got nationalism over there. Coming out with some different videos these days, and extra audio shows. If either you blue want to put out any kind of extra material, if you have any time to do so. Definitely just, you know, send it my way, and we'll figure out a way to do this. I've got a new video coming out that's going to be maybe about 17 minutes long. Might have it out, I'm going to say, on Monday to give myself a little time. But I think that this is a great way to reach people, as well as using their own news stories, their own words, real clips and quotations against them.
Yeah,
I think that's a good idea.
I think the other two videos that you have already, Kyle, are awesome, and people can check out those at nationalprotectionism.com.
That's right. It's in the blog section for people to go over there and see those videos and the different press that we've gotten at nationalprotectionism.com. I've got to even update that, because people are talking about this, and this is making waves. And I think we're just starting to see the real ripple effect moving outward now.
I agree. And like I said on my show, hold on to your hats, because we're going places.
Absolutely. And, hey, you know, let's just keep on cranking out information and keep on trying to unite people and really trying to build up a nationalist movement that will make future generations proud.
If we don't turn this thing around, what few white people survive are going to curse our memories. So we have to do something.
Yep, absolutely.
Right.
All right. Anybody have anything else they want to say, or should we just we wrap this up at this point?
I'm good.
Sounds good to me, man. I'm good.
All right. Sounds good to me as well. Thanks, all of you, for coming on and doing some extra time here for the roundtable. It wasn't all silly jokes and utter nonsense that some people might have been, you know, they're probably over at some other place for the last Saturday night show, and good for them. But we here want to put out interesting conversation, and I think that this was I had a really good time. So that's all I'd like to say about that. I'm going to go to a band that Lou played last night for the beginning of his show. And this is
I have to say here.
Yeah.
Fortune favors the brave. You need to be intrepid. You need to follow the path of the hero, like which I said on a previous show. Look up The Hero's Journey by Joseph Campbell. Look up The Hero's Journey and model your own life after that and be a fucking hero. It doesn't mean you need to go and sling in a vine and cut a dragon's head off. But heroism takes many forms.
Better not
and
cut dragons.
You need to
head
embrace
off.
This. And
yeah, hey.
Bring it into yourself.
And what's that all about? Lose a closet anti-white. Cutting dragons' heads off.
That's what the whole symbology of slaying the dragon is about, man.
Sorry. Well,
let's not go there.
Okay, riding a dragon and cutting off Yahweh's head. How's that?
That's right, on the ride the back of a dragon. You got it.
All right, any other final thoughts
ride
here?
Ride a dragon, cut Yahweh's head off. Have a good night.
Yes.
Enjoy it, guys.
All right, take care of it, man. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Stay frosty, brother.
War on Arrow. We have declared war on Arrow. War on Arrow. We have declared war on Arrow. War on Arrow.
Random is resistance. I repeat, random is resistance.